not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Again, I'm not ready to make nice, and I'm not ready to make, not ready to back down. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the American Awakening. This is Michael Herzog, your guest, with you for 2 hours, and today is the 27th of March, 2007. As always, if you got a headache, call 800-327-0727. It's Headaches Stay Gone, and they really work. I haven't taken them personally, but everybody around here swears by them. And again, the announcement, all of you who have seen Freedom to Fascism, the ones that I've sent out the video to, please give it to a friend, let them see it, and make sure they haven't seen it, and when they have seen it, then tell them to give it to a friend who hasn't seen it. The whole basis for that is if they ever get called to jury duty on a tax trial, they'll know to vote not guilty after they've seen that movie. Today, I've got a really, really great guest coming up, Reverend Ted Pike, and I know a lot of you have heard of him. A lot of you have heard him on air with John Stadtmiller. For the sake of my new listeners that haven't heard him, we're going to talk about the hate crimes legislation. Representative John Conyers has just enacted a new bill put into legislation. I guess there's three of them sitting in there right now. And the Reverend is going to go into some detail on that. And for the sake of the new listeners, I'm going to give a little background with the help of the Reverend on exactly what is happening here. Don't forget, tomorrow I have special guest Don Nikoloff, and this guy is an amazing guy. Writes for the Idaho Observer. He's been down, done the investigative research on members of the Federal Reserve, members of the families behind that, members of the Bush administration. Should be a fascinating show. Thursday, we've got Tex Mars, and I'm going to have him on talking about Codex Magica. Fascinating book. I've been perusing through it, and it shows you how to read the sign language that members of the elite, if you will, use to communicate with each other. And guess what? I got a hold of Art Burnclow. I've got him coming on Friday. And for those of you who do not know who Art is, he is a veterans advocate and the executive director of Veterans for Constitutional Law. I had a really, really good conversation with him yesterday and again this morning, and he's a fascinating guy. Kind of funny guy. I really enjoy talking to him. He will be on Friday. I am in the process of trying to get a hold of Doug Rocky, possibly to put him on Friday or maybe next week. I've got a call into him right now on the subject of depleted uranium, which kind of ties in with this work that Art Burnclow is doing regarding our veterans, because I pulled an article offline today, and for those of you who may not know, do you know that we have over 200,000 of our veterans that are currently homeless? I mean, that's a staggering figure if you think about it. And I think part, or maybe even a lot of it, is due with what happens in the Veterans Administration when they go to apply for benefits. And Art's going to tell you a little bit more about that coming up Friday. But let's see. I want to get back to square one. We're going to go into today the hate crimes legislation, and the, I guess John Conyers has proposed a new bill, which I'm going to let the Reverend tell you about. I don't claim to be really up to speed on that bill. I'm going to let his knowledge tell you that. But I did do a little bit of research and background on Mr. Ted Pike. Fascinating guy. We'll be back in a few. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. You're listening to republicbroadcasting.org and 12180 shortwave. See you in a few. Stick with me.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
in our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening. And again, we're going to go into this hate crimes legislation. I've got an article sitting in front of me that was written by the Reverend Ted Pike. Saying emergency alert, Conyers introduces a new hate bill. And I want to tell you, for the benefit of the new listeners that I have that don't know much about what's going on here, I'm going to take a few minutes with the good Reverend and go into a little background on to who's pushing this bill. So with that, I'm going to bring up my guest, the Reverend Ted Pike. Are you with me, Ted?
I am, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. You know, I have a lot of new listeners here, Ted, and I want to tell you, first of all, I did a little background research. I went in and I Googled in your name, sir. And I came up and I watched a video that you and your lovely wife did, and I guess it came out in about 2001. And I learned a lot that I didn't even know about the B'nai B'rith. You said it was established in 1842. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right, in New York City.
And so I went into Wikipedia, and according to them, they say that the organization is engaged in a wide variety of community service and welfare activities, including the promotion of Jewish rights, assisting hospitals and victims of natural disasters, awarding scholarships to Jewish college students, and opposing anti-Semitism through its Center for Human Rights and Public Policy. And as you and I well know, this is basically a cover. That's really not their main issue, from what I'm gathering, okay? Am I right so far?
Yes, you certainly are.
All right. It says that I guess the ADL is basically their propaganda arm, and also they have an intelligence arm, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And mainly, although they they propose to advocate Jewish civil liberties. The reality is they wish to eliminate Christian core values.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. So let's go into a little bit. I know I did the background on the ADL, and some of the stuff that I uncovered was very scary. I understand that these people basically are their intelligence operation is, from what it looks to me, more powerful than the CIA or the FBI either one. Would you agree with that?
Yes, that's Congressman Rarick's opinion.
Congressman Rarick. Okay, so in essence, what's happening here is that B'nai B'rith, the ADL, which is a part of the B'nai B'rith, is pushing for this legislation, and evidently they've already gotten it enacted in, Canada, in Israel, West Germany, Sweden, Britain? Is that right?
Yes, many, many countries of the Western, especially in the Western industrialized nations.
Okay. And so for the people who are unaware, of what's going on here, and the people that watch mainstream news and basically get just the Kool-Aid that is fed to them about ADL, just supporting Jewish groups and helping in disasters. I want you to, if you would, please, sir, do me a favor and expound on this. And let's go into this hate crime bill. I mean, the newest one is out. I guess there's three of them in Congress right now. But from what I can sense here after going back and doing some research, this has been going on for a long time, and you've been fighting this fight for quite a while.
Yes. Well, I think the film you were referring to was my video, Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians.
I believe it was, yes.
Which is being shown on Google. And basically what that film talks about is that the ADL, as the so-called civil liberties arm of B'nai B'rith International, is basically working to create hate crime laws and anti-hate law bureaucracies in the Western industrialized world. It's been doing this certainly since 1947, where their first attempt was to enact the genocide treaty under the United Nations auspices so that so-called thought crimes or speech crimes which caused mental harm, that's the phraseology, that caused mental harm might be prosecuted from the international level. But the genocide treaty, even though it was ratified in part or symbolically by the U.S. Congress, never really had the teeth under international authority to do very much about ending free speech against, especially about criticizing matters Judaic.
Mm-hmm.
So what the ADL did basically in 1988, they had a what they called a model hate crimes law competition, which was open to all law students in the United States. And the purpose of this competition was to draft a model anti-hate law which could be enacted both on the state and the federal level. And the winner of that competition was Joseph Ribicoff, a law student from Whittier College in California. And this Jewish law student made the astonishing assertion that if Christian organizations, basically Christian conservative organizations, even showed a video which was critical of homosexuality or federally protected groups such as Jews under hate laws, that the leaders of that organization should be indicted as hate criminals, and further, if any member of that organization, it may be thousands of members who continue to support that organization, would also be indicted as hate criminals. Now, this was the first prize winner. The award was given at the Hofstra Conference at Hofstra University in New York in about 1988. Mm-hmm. And Ribicoff's ideas were put in the hopper. And then all during the 1990s, the ADL was able to persuade just about 44 or 45 state governments, state legislators throughout the nations to adopt some version of their model anti-hate law. And another thing that is important is that in just about exactly that time, ADL was lobbying very heavily for the passage of the Hate Crime Statistic Act of 1990, which was their creation in its entirety. And basically, it set up ADL as the adjunct of a religious organization, B'nai B'rith International, as the teacher to the FBI, the Justice Department, and literally every policeman in America of such crucial terms as hate and bias and tolerance and anti-Semitism, these very, very defining terms by which society lives. So right now, the ADL, as I say, ADL is an adjunct of a Jewish religious, fraternal, and educational organization with presences in more than 55 nations of the world. And yet they, as a religious organization, are deeply embedded, I should say, uniting synagogue with state in the federal government right now. And go down to your local police station and ask, do you have any literature on hate crimes? The officer will bring forth literature, tracks. They even have a model anti-hate law video. They have sensitivity training. There's a wealth of literature right in the smallest police precinct in the United States as these officers are being indoctrinated by the ADL concerning what is hate crimes, how to report it, and so on.
Well, so what they are actually winning or are being given trips over to Israel and being trained. Is that correct?
Yes, the ADL has rewarded especially cooperative police officers and with trips to Israel in which they are entitled and privileged to go there and receive instruction on how to put down terrorism and so on by Mossad agents in Israel. And this, of course, is very suspect because, you see, we have to remember that ADL is basically the adjunct of the extension of Mossad in Israel. I can't prove that technically, but the fact is that when the ADL was being indicted in California for spying on thousands of American citizens, the ADL librarian in the Los Angeles branch testified in court that Mossad agents routinely passed through their agency there in Los Angeles, bringing them vital information and they giving them names and so on, sending them back to Israel. And so ADL is, ADL specializes in criticizing Christian organizations for their supposed Christian supremacism and desire to mix religion and government. But the ADL is the biggest hypocrite because it unites synagogue with state. And we can go on during this discussion today describing even more ways in which ADL has penetrated branches of our government and actually has a Department of Global Anti-Semitism now set up for its benefit in the U.S. State Department.
Oh, I'd like to do that. We have the time. I mean, they're in violation of the Foreign Agent Registration Act.
Exactly.
And they're sharing this information since they're sharing it with Israel. They're obviously sharing it with the Mossad, the FBI, CIA, the IRS. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen this because I've watched mainstream news, and I have to admit, about 6 months ago, I wound up throwing the TV out because I got so disgusted. But prior to that, I noticed that these candidates, when they were running for Congress and so forth, they were all surprisingly given a trip to Israel. They all immediately go to Israel for some reason. Okay.
Yes.
And further on, this particular organization is so strong that if anybody, any candidate or any supporter of a candidate or whatever, speaks out against the Jewish religion or ADL or whatever, they can just basically destroy their candidacy.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody who runs for a high elected office in this country pretty much has to swear a loyalty oath to Israel. You know, I read an article a little while back by Tom Hayden, who was the left-wing free speech anti-war activist back in the 60s who married Jane Fonda for a while. And Tom Hayden was very candid in how that as he was running for office in California, the Zionist lobby approached him and made it very clear to him that unless he gave unconditional support to matters Jewish, his prospects politically were finished. And I'm afraid that's the prevailing reality now in the Congress of the United States.
So the tail wags the dog.
Yes.
We got to take a break here, Ted. Stick with me. We'll be back in a few. This is Michael Herzog and Reverend Ted Pike, The American Awakening, republicbroadcasting.org, and 12180. Back in a few. Stick with us.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We're back with American Awakening. This is Michael Herzog, and my special guest today is Reverend Ted Pike. Ted, we have a short segment coming up here, about 4 minutes. You want to continue on that thought, or you want to move on?
Tell me exactly where I was, Michael.
You know what? I'll tell you. I have gone down and researched. I've got so many articles sitting here that you've written that I pulled the legislation out, the pending legislation and so forth, that I get confused myself. But... I'll tell you what. Let me start with this. Currently, correct me if I'm wrong, the federal government, since there has been no hate crimes legislation enacted, they lack definition, and they can't determine a penalty, and they can't invade states right now in law enforcement. But this particular hate crimes legislation that Conyers has introduced would totally subvert that and cause the government to be able to... come into the state, override state law. Is that correct?
Exactly. You see, what this bill does is it's called the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act, and what it is an attempt to break down all barriers to federal intrusion into states' rights in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You see, the Civil War was fought over the issue of how much power the federal government has to come down and dictate ethics or morality within the states. That's a good deal of the Southern point of view. I'm not saying I entirely agree with their objections, but what we have established in the last several hundred years is a pretty clear idea of states' rights, which says that unless the federal government can find examples of slavery in the states, or voter fraud, or jury tampering, or crimes involving interstate commerce where the jurisdiction is clear, then the government has to stay out of local jurisdiction interpretation of the Constitution by the attorney generals and justice departments of the local states. And this is very much of an annoyance to the ADL, because the ADL wants complete power from the very top to work, to give dictates, to serve arrests and indictments clear down to the precinct at a local level without any kind of interruption. You see, this is the definition of a police state when there are no checks and balances against federal intrusion into states' rights in law enforcement. So the ADL wants complete power to be in the driver's seat of making definitions and deciding who is going to be indicted around the country all at the same time, and getting action quick without local officials standing in their way, like in Alabama in the civil rights movement, saying, get out, federal government, you know, we are not going to allow you this prerogative. And so this legislation basically does two things. Number one, it sets up a bias-oriented justice system in America, like Canada's. Now, in Canada, you have, like America, you have the old-fashioned English law, which says that unless the police can find some demonstrable physical evidence of a crime having been committed, the police cannot make an arrest. You've got to find the broken bones, the damaged fenders, the broken glass on your bedroom window before the police can make an arrest. But under the bias motivation justice systems of Canada and European countries, which the ADL has introduced, all it takes for the federal government to get involved, or even the police, is evidence that bias has motivated some kind of a verbal attack or a physical attack upon a member of a federally protected group, particularly homosexuals and Jews. Mm-hmm. Now, in Canada, under their bias motivation system, if you and I were to be holding this discussion on Canadian broadcasting, this already would be considered a hate crime. We would already be holding up members of a federally protected group, which are the Jews and Jewish leaders and their organizations and institutions, for hatred and contempt. We would be describing them already as having been involved in conspiratorial and illegal activity. Already we would be indictable in Canada for our words. Our bias, so-called bias against this federally protected group. Now, what the ADL wants to do is to establish a system here in America in which, under the pretext of discerning bias or locating bias in the states as motivation for crime, the federal government can come down any time it wants to and make arrests and indictment on the local level. And literally the smallest misdemeanor will become a federal crime, punishable by triple penalties.
Well, let me ask you this: why is it to the ADL, which obviously is a supposedly a Jewish organization, an advocate for Jewish civil liberties and so forth? Why is it that they are pushing this under the auspices of hate crimes, or under the auspices of a gay, and I believe it's David's Law, some uh-huh. young gay guy that was beat up or whatever. Why are they using that?
Well, the gays, the homosexuals, are a very powerful, well-organized, very well-funded activist group. They've got about a $30 million annual legislative lobbying budget. And they also have a message which is very, very destructive of Christian values and civilization. Homosexuality, promotion of homosexuality, is one of the best bets the ADL could have to break down Christian society and Christian civilization, because Christian values and Christian theology and Christian ambitions and Christian social institutions and so on, these are all barriers to basically the Talmudic, cabalistic goal of rabbinic Orthodox Judaism, which is the dream of supplanting and overcoming Christian society,
okay,
and realizing the ancient prophecies of Isaiah.
Let me stop you right there. We've got to take a break. Okay, be back in a few. Stick with me, Ted. Michael Herzog, RepublicBroadcasting.org, 12180, shortwave.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening, and I have a special guest on the line, Reverend Ted Pike. I'm going to open up the phone lines here in a little bit. I want to go into this a bit further with the good Reverend here. You know, Ted, something just hit me during the break, and that is that they're talking about homosexuals, and they're talking about Jews, and they're advocating, you know, that we can't talk bad about homosexuals. Well, gee, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the Bible advocate not being homosexual?
It certainly does. But you have to remember something about modern or rabbinic Judaism, which follows the Talmud instead of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Most people think of Orthodox Jews as, you know, clutching the Bible to their breasts and chanting and genuflecting before the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem and so on in observance and reverence to the Old Testament. That's not true. You see, what happened about 2,000 years ago was that the Pharisees basically hijacked Judaism, and they introduced a whole new set of rules and regulations, which Christ described as the law of the scribes and Pharisees, which had overturned the law of God. And in the Babylonian Talmud, which is the compilation of all of these Pharisaic rules and regulations and attitudes, we find very, very different values, the opposite values that we find in the inspired scriptures of the Old Testament. And one of the features of Talmudic Judaism is the idea, believe it or not, that a woman can have sex with a 9-year-old boy, and because that 9-year-old boy is not sexually mature, it's okay. It is not morally his moral neutrality does not throw guilt, as the Talmud says, upon the active offender. Now this is pederasty, pedophilia, but it is sanctioned by the Talmud. At truthtellers.org, which is my website, I have extensive writings on pedophilia, child sex in the Talmud. I also have a book called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, 345 pages, which can be obtained at truthtellers.org for $24.90 online. And I have extensive documentation of this dark secret within Talmudic Orthodox Judaism, that there are sexual permissions and abuses given there that are really hair-raising. And what it reveals is that modern or rabbinic Judaism does not have the kind of clear, righteous moral standard concerning sexual matters, adultery, homosexuality, and so on, that the Old Testament of their forebearers had. And as a result, modern Judaism is quite open to working with homosexuals. In fact, Reform Judaism, which is a tremendous part of modern Judaism in America, I think they're about 33% or so. Reform Judaism is solidly behind the homosexual gay rights agenda now. Conservative Judaism, which is kind of in the middle doctrinally, has now announced that before the year is over, they will be firmly endorsing homosexuality. And so what has happened on the national scene is that ADL, B'nai B'rith, and Reform and Orthodox, and Conservative Judaism are now aligning themselves very solidly behind the homosexual agenda for America. And you ask, well, what is the motivation for this? Why can they do this? Well, it's because they're interested in using any tools they can find to break down Christian civilization and values so their new Jewish New World Order can result. You see, the fundamental to the doctrine of the Pharisees is the idea that there is only one God. There's only one God, Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And this idea of the Christians, that there's a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit, a Trinity, including Jesus, the supposed Messiah, they consider that to be polytheism or idolatry, and Jesus they consider to be a false prophet. So their great goal in existence is, as the Kabbalah describes, to restore order out of the confusion and anarchy which Christianity and the Gentiles have brought to the world. And their idea of total order will be a one-world government dominated by Hebrew monotheism, outlawing literally on pain of death belief in the false prophet Jesus Christ.
So, in that respect, if this hate crimes legislation is passed, then ultimately they're going to wind up going after people like you, people like Jerry Falwell, people.
They're going to go after every person who is remotely respectful of Jesus Christ. You know, back when the Jewish Bolsheviks took over in Russia, they didn't care whether the clergyman was a liberal or an Orthodox or whatever he was, evangelical. Mm-hmm. If he in any way was associated with Christianity, it meant death for him. So there's a whole spectrum of Christians. There's something like, I think, 24 million evangelicals here in the United States. And the Kabbalah and the Talmud are very clear that there must be death for Christians because they are idolaters. Now, what we have to remember is that, you know, as an evangelical Christian, I believe that there was a new age of grace established by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, in which no longer were the Jews obligated to cleanse the land of the Canaanites and these wicked inhabitants of Palestine, as in the time of Joshua. And a new age of grace came, according to Paul, when there was neither bond nor free, or male or female, or Jew or Greek. Everybody was one and united by faith in Jesus Christ. This is bringing true peace, and an ecumenical harmony to the world. Mm-hmm. But there was never any such transition for the Pharisees. They were deported. The Jews of the southern kingdom of Judah were deported to Babylon in 597 B.C., and they went to Babylon, and they soaked up all of the Babylonian occultry and perversions of Babylon, which ultimately came into the Talmud, but they still had this mindset, as is revealed in the book of Esther, this mindset that if they can get away with slaughtering the Goyim, the inhabitants, the wicked Goyim, then they're going to do it. Now, that mentality is still prevalent in the ADL B'nai B'rith agenda worldwide. You know, back in the 1980s, our family had the privilege of helping reestablish the National Day of Prayer under President Reagan, and we had a booth back at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention one year promoting the National Day of Prayer. And I have a friend by the name of Stan Rittenhouse who has written a book called The Fear of the Jews, and it's all very moderate but very truthful about what happened in Palestine and so on. Anyway, he was in a booth down from us a space or two, and a Rabbi Ben Ami, who was a Mossad intermediary with the religious right, came walking along, and he stopped and he picked up a copy of Stan's book, and he started to read it, and he became inflamed with anger while we were there. He started shouting repeatedly, "He should die! This man should die!" And he made quite a scene there of how Stan should be killed for writing a book critical of Judaism and Zionism. Well, can you imagine any other clergyman, let's say a Catholic or a Mormon or whatever, putting up a scene in public before many people saying that anybody who criticized his religion should die for it? Well, that's typical of rabbinic Judaism. It has a very, very homicidal attitude toward the idolaters still remaining in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, there's a separation here because I took the liberty. I do Google a lot, Reverend. I went into Google and I Googled in Jews Against Zionism. And do you know that there's no less than 64 different websites regarding Jews Against Zionism? So it seems to me like, I mean, they use the word Jew and the protecting the Jew and so forth. However, they're really not a normal Jew. I mean, the word Zionism comes into play here.
Well, what you're referring to is the Naturi Karta, one of those major organizations, and Rabbi Wiest.
Uh-huh.
And what they are is they are Hasidic, what are called Hasidic Jews. Their origins are in Eastern Europe. Most of them are racially probably not really, don't have much to do with actual lineage from Abraham or Semitic genes. They're largely descendants of the Khazars, which was a group of merchants and nomads in Central Eurasia converted to Judaism around 850 A.D. Anyway, these are ultra-Orthodox Jews. They are Kabbalistic Jews, certainly very Talmudic Jews, but they have taken exception with the Zionist program in the 20th century. You see, the Zionists came in at the turn of this century, and they basically said, get out of the way, Palestinians. We're moving in. This is our land. This was promised to us by our forefather Abraham. And obedience to God really doesn't matter anymore because we've got the money, we've got the guns, we've got the international endorsement of the British government, on and on. We're going to move in here. We're going to establish God's kingdom on earth here again, whether you or anybody else likes it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that time, there were many, many Jews even living in Palestine, many Sephardic or true descendants of Abraham, which were a minority and still are a minority. But they said, no, we believe that only by obedience to the Torah and to the Talmud will the Messiah even come at all. And when we return to obedience to the Talmud, then God will deign to allow the Messiah to be revealed. And so this is the theology of Naturi Karta, Rabbi Wiest, and so on, that there are conditional terms for getting back into Palestine. They have to be obedient to the Talmud and the Pharisees in order to get back in there and receive divine endorsement. But This message is very irksome to the Zionists who, as I say, believe obedience no longer matters, and unfortunately the Zionists have brought over the evangelicals, massive numbers of evangelicals, to the same thesis that obedience no longer matters, but atheists and anarchists and Bolsheviks can come in there and occupy a land dedicated to faith, regardless of what anybody else thinks.
I see. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a moment or a few moments and get into this. I pulled the 109th Congress, the bill S-1145, and you've got a few comments in here. I want to talk a little bit about that and what exactly it is that they're proposing, along with the effects that it's going to have on Americans as a whole, if in fact it is implemented, and then what we can do to stop it. Okay. So starting with that, let's see. It says, to provide federal assistance to the states, the local jurisdictions to prosecute hate crimes, the bill grants the government jurisdiction not just in violent hate crimes, but for general hate crimes. And going back to what I was talking about before, it allows the ADL basically to define what a hate crime is and uses bias and prejudice. Is that correct?
That's right. Here in the United States, we are different. The ADL is forced to have a different criteria of what a hate crime is than in Canada. It's because of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, a hate crime is just simply public speech critical of members of federal protected groups. I mean, if you're critical of homosexuality on the airwaves, that's a hate crime. It's just as simple as that. Truth is not allowed in the hate crimes tribunals. You are guilty if you've hurt the feelings of a homosexual. And but here in the United States, you see, we have First Amendment privileges and protections. And so the ADL has had to define a hate crime as bias motivation on one hand, resulting in some kind of a violation of the law on the other. And this makes it a little more difficult, perhaps, for the ADL to carry through an indictment to a conviction. But basically what this federal law says is that if the federal government finds a crime is committed in a state, and they believe that bias motivated that crime, then that is a hate crime, and that is now a federal crime, subject to triple penalties.
Yeah, I'm reading that in here. It means that the federal government can come into the state. Another curious thing here is I'm reading the word perceived, or the bias. Who's perceiving this? I mean,
Well, you know this bill later on. You get toward the end, and it makes that very clear. It says that if a straight man tries to rape a transvestite, and he perceives her as a woman, whereas actually she is a male in drag, mm-hmm. He perceives her as a woman and attempts to rape her, isn't successful. But if he is motivated by bias, let's say he calls her a bitch while he's doing it, which is proof of bias motivation against women,
mm-hmm.
Then, believe it or not, this bill says that he can be subject to life imprisonment for that action.
That's stiff of a penalty.
Yeah, that's right. Now, of course, if that were done without bias motivation, maybe it's, I don't know, attempted rape of a transvestite. I don't know what the penalty would be for that.
Might just be double penalty instead of triple.
Well, I don't think it'd be too much because it wasn't consummated and he got his gender all mixed up.
I see.
But you see, what the ADL wants to do is to have triple penalties for bias crimes to let the public know that bias is very, very, very bad, worthy of triple penalties. And society should not be biased in any way.
Right, but the underlying thing here is, and forgive me, and I may be way off base here, but I smell a rat. I smell bias against the Jewish faith. I mean, I'm looking at another article here, The Fair and Balanced View, and it's called You Might Be an Anti-Semite. I mean, basically, if you do anything, you know, if you think it's wrong for Israel to pick a fight and then get other countries to do the fighting, you're an anti-Semite.
Yes.
If you don't like that Israel pays U.S. politicians millions of dollars with PAC money in order to influence these politicians' decisions and votes regarding Israel, you're an anti-Semite.
Yes.
I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Okay? So really, yes, the homosexual issue is part of the problem, But the any statement made regarding, you know, the Jewish faith or the Holocaust or any such thing, you know, take for example Ernst Zundel, is, I mean, that is tantamount to the homosexual issue.
Yes. Right. Well, about 2 years ago, ADL again got the federal government, the Congress, to approve unanimously the establishment of the State Department's Department of Global Anti-Semitism. And I have quite an article on this at truthtellers.org. And in the first annual report of the ADL's Department of Anti-Semitism, they listed about 14 criteria of what anti-Semitism is, and that's gleaned from their instances of what they consider anti-Semitic acts around the world in the previous year. And just a few of them, it says that a strong criticism of Israel's leaders is anti-Semitic. To say that AIPAC has too much power in Congress is anti-Semitic. To say that there's a Jewish conspiracy of any kind is anti-Semitic. To say that Jews are interested in global government, achieving that goal is anti-Semitic. And to make any cartoon of a leader of Israel using the word Nazi or images of Nazism is anti-Semitic.
Okay, let me stop you right there. We've got to take a break here. Stick with me here, Reverend. Michael Herzog, American Awakening, republicbroadcasting.org, and 12180 shortwave. Be back in a few. Stick with us, folks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Michael Herzog, we're back with the American Awakening, and I'm on the line with my special and very knowledgeable guests, Reverend Ted Pike. And We're going to open up the phone lines after the first of the hour. Reverend, we've got a short segment here, another 4 minutes and a couple more commercials. So let's get back to the what is considered anti-Semitic.
Yes. You know, one of the criteria which is most disturbing to me is that the U.S. State Department's Global Anti-Semitism Department now claims that the Christian who believes that the Jews had Christ killed 2,000 years ago, these Christians are also anti-Semitic. And this is very disturbing because the crime of anti-Semitism in Canada now is certainly indictable. First-time offense for it would be probably $4,000 or $5,000, but repeated offenses would result in jail time. And what the ADL is wanting to do is to just basically make all Christians into anti-Semites, potential hate criminals, setting them up for persecution.
I was going to say that in itself, you know, seriously suppresses the Christian religion.
Yes, it does.
Okay, getting back to this on the legislation here, there's three particular, three different bills in Congress right now.
Yeah, there sure are.
And I got your article here that you wrote on 322, Emergency Alert Congress Introduces the New Hate Bill. Go into a little bit about, if you would, I guess he's trying to pull a fast one here. It says the Davis Law, H.R. 254, remains in the House Judiciary where it's probably going to die. But then there's another bill that is the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act. Now, that's the newest one that he has
yes,
proposed?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Tell me, why the Davis Law bill, why is that one going to die?
All right. David's Law, which is the David Ray Hate Crime Statistic Act, was introduced back on January 5th by Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas.
Okay.
And it's a shorter version, only 3.5 pages long. But it's stiff. It gives the ADL exactly what it wants, which is bias-oriented system and unification of policing powers in America.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important. It's a tough, lean fighting machine for the ADL. I believe that's the bill they wanted, but you see, we have blitzed Congress with calls in the last several months, not only from efforts by the National Prayer Network on alternative talk radio, with many, many activists responding to our call, but also the New Right, the American Family Association, Dobson, and others now have gotten on board a bit late, perhaps, but gotten on board and brought in millions of calls to the House of Representatives. Well, about a couple of weeks ago, I was in a three-way conference with Amanda Banks of Focus on the Family, and she's the chief legislative analyst for Dr. James Dobson. And she told me, and Guy Adams, my intermediary in the religious right, she told us that they had intercepted a communique, Dear Colleague letter between Congressman Conyers, who is the head of the House Judiciary Committee, and selected liberals in the House. And he was basically saying that they were done with H.R. 254, which is the David Ray hate crimes bill.
Right.
Because they were going to use that as a decoy to soak up all these millions of calls and all the outrage and protest from the American people. And when that had kind of died down and people were kind of exhausted and sick of this issue, then they were going to reintroduce the big federal hate bill, the 11.5-page version, which had been approved by the House of Representatives a year and a half ago. And so for the last few weeks, everybody has been waiting. We've all been waiting, wondering when Conyers would introduce that bill or if he would. We're hoping, of course, we could intimidate him from even going ahead with the hate bill and letting it die in committee. But just a few days ago, last Wednesday, the ADL on its website announced that the new federal hate bill was now in the judiciary.
All right, let me stop you right there. We got to go to a break. Very sneaky, by the way. Michael Herzog, American Awakening. We're on with the Reverend Ted Pike, and you're listening to republicbroadcasting.org and 12180 shortwave. We'll be back in a few. Stick with us, and we'll open up the phone lines.